It's the Democrats' turn.
I will be laser focused on creating opportunities for the middle class.
Andrew McKay on Pensacola Morning News and Bobby Rossi on Pensacola Right Now will report from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Catch their interviews and observations throughout the convention on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
All roads lead to Chicago and the Democratic National Convention. Expect big speeches and also big protests. Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling.
If everybody is doing exactly what's expected of them and they're exercising their First Amendment rights, this isn't an arrest situation.
So as long as you're not doing anything we don't want you to do, including don't break the laws we just passed in the last week that make all the stuff we told you could do prior to that legal, yeah, now you can't do any of that stuff. That's almost unbelievable. But yeah, Chicago decided that they were going to let protesters protest and do their thing and put up encampments and have a good old time. And then all of a sudden we discovered, oh no, we're not going to be doing any of that. So they created all kinds of like 1 week long prohibitions against all the stuff that the protesters wanted to do. But yeah, we're here. We're in Chicago. We're actually at the B&B waiting for all of the festivities to begin. You know, we haven't really seen too much yet. We basically all just got here yesterday. So I don't have a lot to tell you about what we have seen, but I will say that the plan for today for the DNC apparently is, what's the word I want? Goodbye, Biden. Bye-bye. Because this is amazing. So the sitting president of the United States, who was the candidate until he found out that he couldn't speak in public, or we found out, or it became undeniable that he couldn't speak in public, is all of a sudden going to be whooshed off the stage. We're going to celebrate him. He's speaking on a Monday. The sitting president, after one term, is gonna speak on Monday. And just for those of you who don't, you know, watch conventions a lot, Monday is not quite a throwaway day at the convention, but it's as close as you can get. It's the, you know, if you get invited to the convention, like, hey, we want you to come speak at the convention. What day? Monday. Oh, dang it. It's like, you know, you're barely in the party. You're barely in the room. Nobody wants anything from you other than just to show up. So he's going to be here today speaking. And by the way, like network coverage, I think I'm going to memory here, but when I was setting my DVR at home the other day, I don't think they're even covering it until 9 o'clock tonight. Like they typically, the big speeches, you know, the main events go from 8 to 10, and they're not even covering the first hour on all the networks. So there's very, very low expectation for the quality and content today, which means we'll hopefully get to see some upset people marching around, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, you know, angry people.
WGN in Chicago reporting leaders of four Muslim organizations are expecting upwards of 100,000 demonstrators for various protests during the DNC. Protest zones have been set up. John Robertson, chief operating officer for Chicago.
Let me be absolutely clear. The city of Chicago is ready to host the 2024 Democratic National Convention.
Let's just hope that's not the sound clip that becomes infamous. 'Cause, I mean, look, if you're the chief operating officer or the chief of police, superintendent, I guess, is the official position, you have to say this, right? You know, if you're J.B. Pritzker, you know, the governor, you have to say, everything's going to be fine. No big deal. Come to Chicago. Totally safe. You have to. But there's a certain, I don't, you know, arrogance, expectation, you just, let's hope, right? I mean, obviously what we want is for everything to be peaceful, but when you say, you know, we are completely and totally ready.
Let me be absolutely clear. The city of Chicago is ready to host the 2024 Democratic National Convention.
Yeah. with, you know, 10,000 cops on the books for Chicago PD versus like, or 11,000 versus 30,000 in New York City. And granted, okay, it's going to be just like before. They're going to have brought in people from all over the country, I'm sure. I am sure there's going to be a lot of police. But, you know, Bobby was rocking around a little bit yesterday. He got here a little bit earlier. And, you know, he was telling me that the police presence that we were accustomed to in Milwaukee, where it was like you couldn't go 3 seconds without seeing 20 bike cops, you know, roaming around. And there were just police everywhere, like surplus police, just everywhere, you know, come and stand on the corner kind of police presence. And it did not quite like that here. So, I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But obviously... Oh, they might. Yeah, he says. Yeah, they might be more clustered closer in because we're about. What are we about a mile away? Maybe something like that. Because that's right. So there's two. But this is actually kind of an interesting thing. One of the things that's different here is that there's two locations. You have the United Center, which is where the Bulls play, which is. I'm trying to think how to describe this to you, like sort of north and west of the city. I mean, it's west of the city, but it's not that far, but it's north and west. And McCormick Place, which is much farther down to the south and east of us, about 5 or 6 miles away. So the convention is really two conventions, which of course creates unique challenges for security.
Protests could span miles and two locations. The United Center is the primary convention location with all the major speeches. McCormick Place, the secondary location for other business. Sergeant Bessie Smith, spokesperson, National Police Association.
These two huge Chicago iconic locations are about 6 miles apart. So that is a real security conundrum.
It absolutely is, because you're having now to secure not one, but almost two separate locations with the... What the amount of people that you would use to secure one, right? I mean, it's not like you can just have twice as many people so easily. So, I mean, maybe it's a national security event or whatever. So maybe it'll be fine. But, you know, not the most encouraging commentary by Sergeant Betsy Smith from the National Police Association. It's a security conundrum. And one of the things that, you know, we haven't, again, haven't had a chance to kind of go down to the United Center and walk around that area just yet, but in Milwaukee, the way it was set up was they basically created a city within the city. And they set up a perimeter so that inside that perimeter, it was like a ghost town. It was just, there was, you know, cars barely got in unless you were supposed to be inside. And you just, there was nobody. Here, it's a city. And it's in the heart of the city. And they're not closing down Chicago. They've basically set up a very narrow perimeter around the United Center and the McCormick Place, which is a big, like, convention center if you don't know Chicago. But they set up the security perimeter pretty close and around, so it's a lot of normal activity right close up to the event, and then all of a sudden you just can't go into these areas, and there's these big no-go zones on Google. But, you know, a lot of people are apparently very concerned about what they're going to experience here, shop owners and the like, because in Milwaukee, the shops that were closed were inside the perimeter, and a lot of them were just closed. The restaurants were closed because there's no point in being open. Here, it's like regular activity, but...
Leading some Chicago business owners to close shop, worried about protests getting out of hand with crime already plaguing Chicago.
The gangbangers aren't going to go away because the Democrats are having their national convention.
I want her as my commentary person all the time. It's a security conundrum. And she's not a Democrat or anything like that. I mean, I don't know her political affiliation. She's just with the National Association of Police. But, yeah, you know, the gangbangers aren't going to stop doing what they're doing just because you got a DNC in town. Which, of course, if you know your history, you know, 68 was a pretty notable moment in the history, not only of the Democratic Party, but of the country, with the protests and the Chicago 8 and all the stuff that went on and in the height of the Vietnam era. So... And we have things like that here, right? We, you know, we have obviously the protests that are going to be against Trump, but the more significant protest right now is that you've got the war in Israel between Israel and the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And as you heard said, and as I think we've all been anticipating, big, big presence of people who are very anti-Biden, maybe... And they were not going to be enough to get him off the ticket, right? That was obviously because of his debate performance and cognitive capacity questions. But Kamala Harris is does not have a fundamentally different foreign policy than Joe Biden. I mean, there's some softer touches when it comes to Israel and Palestine. You know, she was calling for a ceasefire, but he was calling for a ceasefire too. Like, it's not that different. And, you know, so when they were calling him, and I'm not making this up, this is genuinely the people who are anti-Israel, the pro-Palestinian, the people who were protesting on the college campuses for all that time, and I suppose somewhere some still are, they called him Genocide Joe. That was their term for the president, Genocide Joe. So they are the radical wing of the Democrat Party. They're calling her Killer Kamala. I mean, they're not enamored with her as a foreign policy representative or as an advocate for the Palestinians. And so, you know, they're not thrilled with this either. So we would expect them to be just as worked, you know, because there was this question, like as soon as Biden went away, there was a big discussion within the Democrat Party and within the anti-war movement or within the anti-Israel movement about what to do. And basically what they decided to do was full speed ahead. We're going to do just like what to do here. You know, what to do with the protest, with the convention. And their decision was, you know, we're not happy and we're going to tell people that we're not happy. So I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. I always wonder this with protests. Like, what is your goal? What is it that you think is going to happen as a result of you doing this? Because they're not going to be right up next to the convention. At least we think they're not. We have yet to see it in person. They're demanding or trying to make themselves seen for things that are at odds with, you know, the Democrat Party and what they're pushing for. Again, we'll see. You know, do I expect there to be, you know, violence or protests that are out of control or pepper spray or any of this kind of stuff? I hope not. Do I expect the criminals in Chicago, of which there are at least more than four, do I expect them to simmer down for the week and just play nice and stay home and watch The Price is Right? Probably not. But we're not in the bad parts of Chicago, if you want to say it that way. And there certainly are some parts of Chicago that are much worse than others. So we'll see. I mean, you know, it's going to be a time. Meanwhile, in case you hadn't heard, there's an election tomorrow. We have the big election, right? The primary is tomorrow. A lot of people have cast their early vote. I know I did before I left. And, you know, we have, I mean, most of the big results that matter other than the presidency are going to be decided tomorrow. So all of your county commission races, you know, whether Rick Scott is going to be the Republican, you know, contender for the Senate, I would assume he's going to win in a landslide. Whether Matt Gaetz or Aaron Dimmick is going to win the Republican nomination for the U.S. House, you know, we'll see. I know Matt is doing a lot of events. And, you know, why do you do a lot of events? Well, presumably because you're concerned. You know, you don't do as much if you're not so worried. In Santa Rosa County, James Calkins is terrified. I mean, he clearly is scared that he's not going to get reelected because the number of people and past things that he has now burned to the ground in an effort to get reelected. I mean, he's been attacking even the builders like Ed Henry, and he's been attacking, or PAC on his behalf have been attacking, and Sam Parker. And I mean, it's wild to watch. Sam was his only ally on the board, and now, so just interesting stuff. In the meeting today, we'll see what comes today during the discussion, but we'll get to all of that, you know, over the course of time. Andrew McKay, I am here in Chicago with Bobby Rossi covering the Democratic National Convention, and yes, I appreciate all of your well wishes and your be safes. I personally am not worried about that. I mean, after all, here in the city of Chicago, we're all allowed to concealed carry and everything. Wait, uh-oh. Nope. No, but I'm not concerned, but, you know, assessments can change based on experience, so we'll see what happens. 437-1620, 437-1620, if you want to weigh in on anything, I'm Andrew McKay.
So I know sometimes people think, like, I'll just sell the home myself, or I'll just buy it myself, and they don't want to use a realtor. I understand, okay? But let me give you some thoughts about why maybe it's useful to go to a realtor, especially one as great as Christina Leavenworth. Okay, obviously you know that she sells a lot of homes, 175 homes last year. You hear me talking about her all the time. When the market was hot and it was very easy to sell homes, she could help you by getting the best possible deal as quickly as possible. When the market is slow, more like it is now, when people are uncertain about interest rates or when they're not sure what's going to happen with that market or the economy or the election or anything else, or, you know, what affects the price of the home? Is it change of station for the military? Are we in season or not for that? What about for, you know, school, things like that? And even understanding, like, what could happen near that home, behind that home, or even with a new home, you might think, why would I use a realtor for that? Because they can get the builder to buy down your points, for example, and work with you because builders are motivated. The point is, having a realtor gets you the best of all possible outcomes, and Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are phenomenal. 723-9158, or look her up online, Christina Leavenworth.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Just in time for the summer season, Piedmore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months, or take $3,500 in customer cash. The mid-size Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months, or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR are $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Welcome to the Heart of Farming Season, brought to you by Parrish Tractor, formerly Coastal Machinery. Parrish is a family business with a heart for community, and through their products and services, they want people to feel connected to the land, to their work, and to one another. Parrish has everything from agricultural tools and resources to construction equipment, including rental solutions. With Kubota as their premier brand, they offer Kubota L-Series tractors, mowers, hay equipment, and more. Parrish Tractor, more than a tractor store. They're located on Mobile Highway in Pensacola and Ferdon Boulevard in Crestview.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools. Under my leadership, we have expanded our honors, advanced placement, and dual enrollment classes, started a middle school sports program, middle and high school orchestra program, girls beach volleyball program, and Santa Rosa is now a Space Florida Space Academy school district. Let's continue to expand the opportunities for our students. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
What a country! America, love it!
In terms of service, one last time, Anderson now. Back row combination dug by Shoji. DeFalco for the win!
So I know this is going back in history just a little bit, because obviously the Olympics have been over for a little while. But I never got to talk about this on the air, and I wanted to give them a second and praise the USA men's volleyball team.
We're third in the bronze by TJ DeFalco.
They played fantastic in the bronze medal match. They won over Italy 25-23, 30-28, and 26-24. So, you know, that was all very, very close, but they did beat them in three after losing a heartbreaker to Poland in the semifinals. And, you know, the Olympics were amazing. I enjoyed so much of it, but I didn't want to praise USA men's volleyball coming back after the loss. Of course, the women did. I mean, obviously, women did what they did, and that's amazing. Ray Gunn. Oh, my God, the Australian breakdancer. We'll talk about that later. I have lots to say and plenty of good audio. You will not believe some of the things that have come to light since that, what's the word I want? Incident, I think, maybe is the most neutral way to say it. David Wayne is back in Pensacola. We are in Chicago at the DNC this morning. David, good to talk to you again, sir. What's going on in the newsroom this morning?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the current negotiations to push for a truce between Israel and Hamas may be the last chance they have to reach a deal to end the war. So far, though, there have reportedly not been a lot of breakthroughs in those talks. About 17,000 AT&T workers all across the Southeast are now on strike after accusing company management of unfair labor practices during their recent contract negotiations. A statement released last Friday by the Communications Workers of America, the union representing the striking employees, said that AT&T did not bargain in good faith and sent negotiators who didn't have authority to make decisions. And, well, here's one that may not be all that surprising to you, Andrew. Gen Z is now blaming social media for mental health issues. New survey out from Talker Research. They surveyed 2,000 Gen Z social media users. They say TikTok and Instagram are the worst ones for them, followed by Facebook. They all spent about 5 to 6 hours a day on social media and said it brought negative emotions to them.
I predict there will come a day, not that far in the future, where we look back and say, you did what with social media? The same way we look back and say, what do you mean you put cocaine in Coca-Cola? Come on, you didn't really.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. House Republicans released their 292-page impeachment report targeting President Biden. It's from the House Oversight, Judiciary, and Ways and Means Committees.
They said their investigation found that President Biden engaged in impeachable conduct and said he abused his office and, quote, defrauded the United States to enrich his family. Republicans revealed that since 2014, the Biden family and its associates received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities.
Fox's Brooke Seaman reporting this morning from Chicago. President Biden will deliver a primetime address later tonight at the Democratic National Convention, which begins today at the United Center in Chicago. Cops in the Windy City are preparing for an expected 100,000 pro-Palestinian protesters this week during the DNC. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have 82 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Panama City man facing charges for sexual battery of an underage girl. 32-year-old Jeremy Ehlers was arrested over the weekend by Okaloosa County deputies. Investigators say the victim was 8 years old at the time of the incident, which allegedly happened back in 2016. Ehlers does remain in custody in the Santa Rosa County Jail. Deputies in Baldwin County now looking for a missing 14-year-old girl. Twyla Tarvin was last seen wearing a pink shirt and black shorts with a black bonnet. Investigators say she left her residence in Spanish Fort over the weekend, left her phone at home, and has not been seen since. The Baldwin County Sheriff's Office did post a photo of the girl on their Facebook page, and if you have any information, you should contact them. Well, arson is suspected in a deadly fire in Miami. That happened yesterday morning in Little Havana. Firefighters say a victim was found in an efficiency short-term rental. So far, the victim has not been identified. One person has been detained, but no arrests have been announced. And some Seminole County residents protesting what they believe to be a cruel tradition. The Animal Rights Foundation of Florida rallying yesterday against the annual statewide alligator hunt. The FWC started the statewide alligator harvest program 36 years ago. It allows anybody 18 or over with a permit to hunt up to two alligators. ARFF coordinator Brian Wilson was not in favor of alligator hunting. But a gator hunter tells News 6 that the permits raise millions of dollars for statewide conservation programs. It is 5:33 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast for this morning.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have just a small chance of rain today, 20% chance overall, high near 94 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. Feeling a bit drier as we go into Tuesday, some drier air moves in, sunny skies, high near 93. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71 degrees. For Wednesday, high near 93, sunny skies, and a low near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' first morning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we have 82 degrees. It is a very hot and humid morning already. 82 in Pensacola, 85 in Gulf Breeze, 85 in Milton. Our next news at 6. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hello, I'm Rhett Rowell, a lifelong Santa Rosa County resident, and I'm a candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission, District 3. I'm running because Santa Rosa has real problems affecting you every day, including traffic congestion and improper drainage. We can do better. Santa Rosa County needs a unifier, and I am that voice. I would be humbled to receive your vote. From sand to soil across our great county, I will be your common sense conservative commissioner that you will be proud of. Please visit RhettRowell.com to learn more.
Paid for and approved by Rhett Rowell, Santa Rosa County Commission.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
My name is Rich Holsnick, and I'm a candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm running for our children to protect their innocence and to get back to educational basics without indoctrination. We also need to retain good teachers. I'm a Naval Academy grad, a 28-year combat vet, and Desert Storm Task Group commander and pilot. Children are our hope and future. I will defend them as I did our nation. Vote Rich in the August 20 primary.
Paid by Rich Holsnack, candidate for Escambia County School Board, District 4.
There are two steps to voting. Step 1, go to your polling place and vote. Step 2, listen to the results on News Radio 92.3. After you visit the voting booth, tune into News Radio 92.3 beginning at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and there'll be a complete wrap-up the next morning on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. So to sum up, step 1, vote. Step 2, listen to the results on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I know you're one vote, but is there any rumbling about a pure?
Well, let me tell you what I can say and what I don't think I can say, Charles. So I could talk about, well, no, because we're going to have another shade meeting, and so I don't know if we're going to appeal it or not, obviously. But as you know, I was the no vote when it first came up to the dais because I didn't believe that we should weaponize the county legal department to go after citizens that I didn't even know who we were going after.
So that was an interview from last week when I was out. Charles Thornton with the Republican committee here in GOP here in Escambia County, talking with Mike Kohler, District 2, about the text message case and asking him now that, you know, as we the news had broken right before I went on vacation that, you know, the ruling came down that the judge sided, as I had fully expected he would. The judge had ruled the judge had ruled that Jonathan Owens, Alex Arduini, and Gannett P&J were in the right, and that Escambia County and Jeff Bergosh were in the wrong, and not just in the wrong about their, you know, claims that these text messages need to be returned, whatever that would mean anyway, but that it was an anti-SLAPP case, that they or a SLAPP case, that they specifically, you know, did this in order to silence public participation, to suppress the First Amendment. And the question of how much lawyers' fees, how much of a penalty the county would have to pay has yet to be determined. But that was the ruling. So Charles Thornton and, you know, Jeff Bergosh on his blog had since or afterwards said that, you know, he's going to encourage an appeal, which would be more money for the county to lose on a completely losing proposition, again, designed to suppress public participation, which is why there's a law against it, which is why the law actually says that you can go after the attorneys even in the case and make them pay. So poor Steve West, the deputy attorney for the Escambia County, has been put in the position of having to defend Jeff Bergosh in this wild escapade to punish citizens for owning texts that were taken from him, and you know, including the PNJ. And, you know, poor Steve West is now potentially on the hook personally. You say, well, I mean, he's going to pay, but the county's going to pay him back. Have you heard of Pam Childers? Pam Childers is not, I don't think Pam Childers is even remotely going to allow the county to pay him back. So depending on what the judge decides to do, and I mean, even, you know, Commissioner Bergosh could be personally on the hook here, I suppose. That's even a possibility. If, you know, somehow there's an issue here where it gets viewed as a personal benefit to him and not something that was in his duties as a commissioner, or you know, not county business, you know, potentially the legal fees for the county might, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like that's a possibility. But as you heard, you know, Mike Kohler say, he won't push for the appeal in the Shade meeting, but, you know, and in the Shade meeting, it was never discussed about these kind of unlimited pursuit powers that the county attorney was given by Jeff and, you know, Stephen Barry and Lumen May. And gosh, was, I'm trying to remember, I guess Bender was out of office at this point. So in the 3-1 vote.
And then we went after, as you know, they went after Gannett, Owens, and Arduini. I don't know how that ever came about. I had nothing to do with those names. I couldn't tell you how that happened. We gave legal the untethered ability to go after whoever, I guess, Jeff wanted to. So I don't know if the other commissioners knew about it. I didn't know who we were going after. I, at the time, was assuming that by that we were only going to go after Jonathan Owens. So when I saw that we went after Gannett and this other guy, Arduini, I didn't know that. It was never discussed in a Shade meeting.
Yeah, because remember, the decision was not, we authorize you to pursue the lawsuit against these three named defendants. The decision was, go after anybody you think we ought to go after. I mean, it was a crazy decision that Jeff pushed for and got from the county with the help of Lumen and Stephen Barry to just blank check legal department. You go after whoever you want to go after to get from. And then later on, somebody decided, I guess Steve West decided or Jeff Bergosh decided, we don't really know, that they would go after the PNJ and Alex and Jonathan and then, you know, lose spectacularly in a way that is very likely to be very expensive.
But where we are now, I don't know if we're going to appeal it or not, Charles. There's other ways to handle this. My guess is we're going to lose a lot of taxpayer dollars on this as well, and it just didn't have to happen. It's sad, honestly.
I totally agree with him. You know, there was no county interest in this lawsuit, let alone the fact that it was an illegal lawsuit designed to suppress public participation, the whole point of having an anti-SLAPP statute.
One of the things you're going to have to spend my money on is you're going to have to pay Gannett attorney, and you're going to have to pay Gannett attorney. We're going to have to do that, and we're also probably going to end up...
I don't know how much it's going to be, but I can't imagine when we have to pay for the supervisor election $49,000 for just a few days of work. I don't know what their number is going to be, but I can't imagine all this not being in the hundreds of thousands, but who knows?
That's what I'm imagining.
I'm sure the clerk's probably trying to figure that out. I should ask her. I don't know. I'll find out, but... We're going to find out soon enough.
Yeah, and I remember when I asked Jonathan Owens, you know, remember he had his attorney with us a week or so before, like the Friday before I went on vacation. And, you know, specifically I asked him, you know, can you say what your legal fee is? And he said, I don't want to discuss it. And plus it's ongoing. I mean, having to have Dennis Green on the radio with me talk about the case was a, you know, legal cost. So the fees are not done. And if they decide to appeal, obviously the fees are not done. So, you know, what's it going to cost? I think six figures is reasonable. Maybe six figures twice or three times over. You know, we might be talking a couple of $100,000 because of this just ridiculous personal vendetta that Jeff Bergosh pursued with the help of the other commissioners, not Mike Kohler, with the help of the other commissioners against these private citizens.
But the way it reads is the judge gets to decide the damages. So, you know, hopefully he'll realize this is coming out of the county coffers and, you know, it won't, you know, cripple us. But I hope that we don't, you know, let's just see where we end up. We got to have another shaving and decide if we're moving forward on this. And as you know, I've never been going after weaponizing county legal to go after citizens, and I never will be. I will never, ever, ever use the county legal to go after people that don't like me. I just won't do that.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens in that case. It's hard to imagine that. I assume Jeff is going to push for an appeal. Commissioner Bergosh is going to push for an appeal. It's hard to imagine at this point that Luman, May, and Stephen Barry would go along with him. You know, weirder, dumber things have happened. I don't know for sure what's going to happen. Meanwhile, the other very fascinating news that happened on Friday. Thursday? I guess it wasn't really, it didn't really happen on Thursday or Friday. This actually happened a couple of weeks ago, but it was reported by several local outlets. I had known about this, but I just had not had time to get into it on the air. But this is the refiling of the lawsuit, the defamation lawsuit, by the medical examiner, Deanna Oleski, against the two funeral home directors. You remember all of this, where they wanted to move the District 1 Medical Examiner's facility from Escambia County in the basement of Sacred Heart to somewhere more central to the four counties. It turns out to be Santa Rosa County. It was a horrible, dilapidated, inadequate facility. And if the commissioners, some of them had gone and some of them had not gone. And if they had ever gone to see that, they wouldn't possibly have opposed this. And they did because reasons. Turns out it looks like maybe those reasons were they were getting lobbied by their buddies who have funeral homes here locally. I mean, I don't... seems like maybe that was the reason, trying to put all the pieces together. So Deanna Oleski was so fed up with the delaying of this decision that had been needed for years and years and years and years that she finally showed up at a county commission public forum and took a bunch of employees with her and basically gave what for to the county commission in public. And, you know, Stephen Barry at the time, was he the chairman or the vice chair? I forget now. I think he was the chair. Anyway, gave him what for over this stuff. Well, he didn't like that. And so about 7 months later in, you know, when was it? March, I guess. He sat down with a couple of his buddies in the funeral home business and at Smokey's. And they hashed out, depending on whose version of this you believe, a plan, a conspiracy, a scheme, or he was just taking constituent concerns. Although not constituent concerns, because when they asked for public records in this case, the attorney for Escambia County, Allison Rogers, told him that was not county business. It wasn't official commissioner business, so I guess they're not constituents. They're just friends. It seems like it's worse that way, but okay. So they sat down at Smokey's, and they came up with this, you know, well, we don't like her very much, and, you know, we're going to write these letters outlining all of our complaints against her, which turn out to be false, after investigation by people like FDLE and the Medical Examiner's Board, and we're going to completely smear this woman's good name, this doctor who's our medical examiner. Our medical examiner. Then those letters get written, and they wind up in the county's possession, first with Stephen Barry's name on them as recipient, then with Stephen Barry's name not on them, redacted away by somebody, who knows who. And then somehow they wound up in Jeff Bergosh's possession, and then Jeff published them in part on his blog, and then the whole world went upside down for the medical examiner because they were horrible allegations. And again, subsequent investigations have vindicated her completely on this, and there's no evidence that any of it is true. So now she's been suing two of the funeral directors over this, you know, defamation. and things like tortious interference, which means, you know, harming her ability to do business and, you know, costing her money because she cannot function as a key expert witness in trials, which she makes a lot of money doing. It's very normal for a medical examiner to make a lot of money doing that. Hasn't been able to do that since all this happened. You know, the sheer defamation is one part of it. Okay, so kind of remember this story, okay? And we had had one of the funeral directors actually on our show with Deanna Oleski, Dr. Oleski, and he had basically recanted his criticisms and said that he didn't know he was going to get caught up in this political scheme. And so she filed a first lawsuit for defamation against the two, did not name either Stephen Barry or Jeff Bergosh in that filing. The judge said, try again, and gave them basically a dismissal, okay? And so they come back with this much longer filing, much more detailed filing, and the main thrust of the story is that in that expanded filing, she specifically names Stephen Barry, County Commissioner Stephen Barry, District 5, as a specifically as a co-conspirator. Now, he's not a defendant in the case, so he's not listed as somebody that she is going after for damages, I'll say yet, okay? But does specifically call him a co-conspirator in the case for Stephen Barry's part of the conspiracy. I'm reading from the refiling. He bragged to defendants Trahan and Mitchell that because the county provided funding to the district from a medical examiner's office, if they wrote letters with their false statements and gave them to Barry, he could ensure the letters got to the right people and he could have her funding stripped, including specifically for the new at medical examiner's office. For his part of the conspiracy, his promise based on the knowingly false statements was a misuse of his public position, a violation of Florida's ethics laws applicable to public employees and elected officials, and specifically a violation of Section 112. Stephen Barry executed his part of the plan when he took receipt of the letters and provided them to County Attorney Allison Rogers. This conduct by Stephen Barry was in his individual capacity, they go on. And so, you know, this is now naming Stephen Barry for his part in all of this, although not suing him, at least not yet, but definitely raising the question of whether he violated ethics laws. You know, if he's acting as the commissioner, then you have problems. And if he's acting as a private individual, then you have problems. And so far, they're trying to style it as he's acting as an individual. But he definitely appears to me to be, at the very least, using his personal position as a county commissioner to benefit his very good friend, the funeral home director, to try to accomplish something for them, which they wanted, which was to keep the medical examiner's office in Escambia County for the fact that it was closer to their funeral homes, and therefore they thought that was a, you know, financial benefit to them. So it's just, I mean, it's such a sick, twisted tale, all based on these false allegations that, you know, again, she's been vindicated over through the investigation. So, refiling of this lawsuit with the naming of the county commissioner as a material participant, although, again, not yet as a defendant. And we have no idea how much money is going to be at stake in this. She may not win. You know, sometimes proving defamation is hard. You know, obviously, if any of the stuff is true, then they win. If it can be proved that they had reason to believe what they said was true, then they win. If they had knowledge that it was false, then, you know, she wins if it can be proven that. You know, a lot is up in the air in this lawsuit. But again, a much more robust version of it has now been filed, and that was kind of it actually got filed, like I said, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I forget the exact date on the filing, but maybe 7th or 6th or something like that. Anyway, but the PNJ picked up on it finally, and you know, Channel 3, I think, has picked up on this. And so, you know, our folks I know talked about it a little bit on Friday. But that's the state of that case as well. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620 and 95.3. I'm Andrew McKay in Chicago. It's a little bit of an odd, like, when you go on vacation, you're already weird when you come back. Like, it just kind of doesn't, everything got to get readjusted. And I got readjusted now to a table and some chairs in an Airbnb in Chicago. It's just kind of an odd feel coming back on the air after having been off for a week. But we're here covering the convention all week, looking forward to seeing what we see and talking to you about it. If you've got comments or you want to weigh in on anything, 437-1620, always catching your texts. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you have any kind of a plumbing need, a drip, a leak, a weird sound in the wall, you want to reclaim your Tupperware from underneath the toilet or the sink, right? You're better than that, by the way. Call Barbary Plumbing. They will take care of you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes, so you know in advance what it's going to cost. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family, an investment that will hold its value, and something that will last a long, long time. In a few words, you're buying trust. According to Consumer Reports, Subaru has been ranked the 2023 best mainstream automotive brand, and the Subaru Outback has been named the 2024 recommended model. For a limited time, you can celebrate them both with special offers during the Subaru Lot to Love event, now through September 3rd. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. There's certainly a lot to love about a Subaru. Safety, reliability, and owner satisfaction. And we invite you to stop by Anderson Subaru to discover what automotive experts and Subaru owners all know. It's easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Learn more at Subaru.com/CR. Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
I'm Earl McCauley, and I'm running for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm a 22-year teaching veteran and 20-year resident of District 4. Last year, I was the Gulf Breeze High School Teacher of the Year with a 97% pass rate on a challenging AP literature exam. My goals as a board member are teacher retention, middle schools, and addressing issues with books and libraries. Your vote for Earl McCauley on August 20th will bring common sense for the school board. I'm Earl McCauley for School Board District 4, and I approve this message.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Hi neighbors, I'm Colton Wright, your current Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. Thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Public safety has always been my first priority, and I've made sure our sheriff's deputies have the pay and equipment they deserve. I've worked hard to improve our roads and infrastructure, improve our parks, supported Whiting Field, and I brought new jobs to our area. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships that benefit all of Santa Rosa County. Please re-elect me, Colton Wright, on August 20th.
Paid for and approved by Colton Wright for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 5.
Why service your firearms?
Well, here's why.
Regular cleaning and maintenance isn't just about keeping your firearm accurate. It's about ensuring they operate reliably when you need them most. When it comes to firearms, Jim's is the trusted choice. They consistently deliver top-notch service to keep your guns in peak condition. So swing by Jim's Firearms and discover why they're the industry's go-to experts. Stay safe. Stay accurate. Visit Jim's Firearms today.
Located at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento, near the back gate of NAS, or online at jimsfirearms.net.
Re-elect Vicki Campbell, ECUA Board District 1, because what Vicki promises, she delivers. Vicki promised recycling. Recycling has continued. While others are ceasing, she is determined to continue. Vicki promised improved technology. You now have a Recycle Coach app where you can report a missed pickup, order a bulk waste pickup, or track water usage all on your smartphone. Vicki is working for you. On August 20th, renew, recycle, and re-elect Vicki Campbell, ECUA District 1.
I'm Vicki Campbell, and I approve this message.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we're in Chicago. Bobby Rossi is here with me. Actually, our owner Dave is here with me as well. The three of us are all here. In the newsroom back in home base in Pensacola, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz were on the campaign trail over the weekend. They were in western Pennsylvania, of course, ahead of the Democratic National Convention today. Meanwhile, former President Trump and vice presidential hopeful J.D. Vance are also on the campaign trail. They're expected to hold separate events today in Pennsylvania as well. Police investigating a deadly mass shooting in Baltimore. Police Commissioner Richard Worley says there were 8 adult victims. One of them was fatally shot. The conditions of the others range anywhere from stable to critical condition. That shooting happened on Sunday night, and police say they found multiple firearms at the scene. They haven't yet determined exactly what led to those shootings. And Ernesto is a hurricane again as it's moving towards Canada now. The National Hurricane Center says it's creating a lot of surf and rip current conditions along the East Coast.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 558 News Radio 92.3. There was a you get these stories where it's health stories, okay? And the health story headline is always going to be something that is designed to captivate you and terrify you. The headline in this case was, certain meats may lead to a greater dementia risk. Now, if I say that, you automatically assume it's going to be what? Everything you like to eat. Like, it's obviously going to be the things you love. And sure enough, hot dogs, sausage, bacon, and salami. It's like you're reading my food menu. So the Alzheimer's Association conference showed that frequently eating ultra-processed meats, like those ones I just said, that are packed full of all the healthy ingredients, research showed that 130,000 U.S. adults tracked them over the course of 4 decades. So this is definitely a longitudinal. 8.5% of the participants developed dementia. The researchers were able to compare their typical consumption of processed meats. Anybody who had 2 servings weekly were 14% greater risk than those who did not. Oh, man. Even eating meat daily, each additional serving will cost you 1.6 years of cognitive aging. Well, I'm 153 by now then.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Long, if that man can say,
it's not us.
We're expecting a decision this week on whether the deputy that shot and killed senior airman Roger Fortson will be charged. More after 5.